setting up for a tag, and it's off of Colabello's glove. So Maurer with a liner, and Colabello couldn't field it. And a ground ball single to left. Dozier scores his second run of the game, and it's 4-2. Here's a drive to left field to tie the game. A three-run sixth, and the Twins have tied it at four. Huge lead at first, trail runner. A drive to left field, and hit Dave. Colabello back, off the warning track. Here comes Hicks. Here comes Dozier. Hunter has put the Twins in front.
How about those Twins? It's unbelievable.
They're okay.
Unbelievable.
All right, 6-5 yesterday. But by the way, looking at the headline the Pioneer Press had this morning, it's June 1st now. They haven't played a game yet. They're going to be in Boston. The headline, June gloom, ? Everyone's expecting them to fall apart. When meantime, they have constructed a first-place team, the best record in the American League after yesterday's win, 20-7 in May to take over sole possession of first place. 30-19 is the record. Best in the league, second best in all of baseball, trailing only the St. Louis Cardinals, who are, it's just not too shabby, 33-17. Imagine if they didn't have that 1-6 start, what they might be.
Yeah, undefeated.
Undefeated. If it wasn't for our guest the other day, the guy who owns my pillow, he said they were 1-6. He gave him some of his new pillows, and they've been on a tear. Now, it's, you know, by the way, the last time they had a 20-win month?
Yeah, it was turned out to be a pretty good year for the Minnesota Twins.
That would be the last time they... What did they do the last time they did it?
I think they did something called winning it all.
They won the World Series, and they did it in June of 91. They went to it 22-6 and won the World Series. It's also just the ninth 20-win month in Twins history, and that goes back to 1961. You got the Paul Molitor, the manager, and all, you know, players talking about it being, you know, maybe what they need to do is extend it in this Molitor. I think maybe we're going to change Monday to May 32nd and see what happens.
Yeah,
they can't get hung up on the calendar. Well, it's June. Here comes the swoon. It's because they just have been playing so well. Now, ominous, Ricky Nolasco hurts his ankle, has to leave. They're doing an MRI today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but again,
there
answers
there
your question.
There are guys they can plug in.
Well, that's what you were looking for, guys they can plug in. But let me give you a few more. I'm not crazy about stats, but these are good ones, so we'll throw them out to you. Scored first for the 12th time in their past 13 games. Right? It's a fifth straight series victory over Toronto, and their ninth straight against any opponent besides the Tigers. That's not shabby. 22-5 when they score four runs or more. And as they go to Boston, they got a four-game series there. It's their run differential, plus 21, ranks fourth in the league, seventh in the major leagues.
You mentioned scoring first in 12 of the last 13 games.
Yep.
In all sports, scoring first is very important. But in baseball, it helps out tremendously to take all that pressure off of your starting pitcher.
Yeah.
So he can go out there and just do his thing and be confident that they've got a lead.
It's amazing. When you look at that lineup, you just say, how? But they're doing it. They're getting it done. And they're making, well, they made May fun. Let's see what they do with June.
And how? That's the question somebody asked Tim Kirkjian, and he just said, I don't know.
Well, that's you're right.
He ran through
really
a few
knows.
Numbers, but the most important number he threw out is they're hitting over 300 with runners in scoring position.
That's
clutch hitting.
Yeah, and it's incredible because it's a team. It's not like one or two guys.
Yeah,
it's one of them. To me, it's one of the best stories in the country of what they're doing. And I think if they can keep it up in June, they will get discovered.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't see how you can ignore it, but a lot of people just think it's fluky.
Yeah.
And I think Kansas City went through the same problem last year. People just figured it was a fluke, and it wouldn't last.
Yeah, they're fifth in the American League in hits right now, and they're a team that doesn't really rack up a lot of hits against the opponent, but what they do is they lump their hits together to get runs in.
But you just take a step back, and certainly it's not just Molitor, but I think the change to him, sometimes... A change works at the top when you have when it's like the manager or a leader, because everybody gets a little sharper.
Yeah.
Because they, you know, they get concerned about their jobs, and they also just want to show off for the boss and tell them they belong. And I don't think we talked about it several times. You cannot underestimate the importance and the value of Torii Hunter, what he's done for that team.
As far as Paul Molitor goes, Brian Dozier said in the week that he was hired, sitting down with that guy and talking baseball, he has more baseball knowledge than I could ever hope to obtain.
Not that it's a little unfair because Gardenhire knows a lot about baseball too. So, I mean, and this is, it happens all the time. Go back to when Brad Childress was hired by the Vikings. Every player raved about him. And then they hated him, most of them. Because they're never going to say, oh, my God, Paul Molitor, this sucks.
Yeah.
You're not going to hear a player saying that unless he really wants to get traded. That would be, by the way, maybe that's AP's next play. It's Mike Zimmer. I can't play for this guy.
I thought you were going to say he was going to start trash talking about Paul Molitor.
No, starts that would. Like,
hey,
by the way,
you don't talk about our baseball manager. You're out of here.
Yeah, with all those wits, you cannot. Yeah, you cannot get away with doing that. And he's alienated enough people with the things he did last week.
Yeah.
You know, you got AP. As I said, we did a little promo, and the Twins are hot, and AP's still a hot topic because I was still getting emails over the weekend from people that are just pissed off. He just doesn't – why he had that little Twitter tirade, what he thought he was going to accomplish. You know, he portrays himself as the victim. You made, what, $12 million last year, and you're going to make $13 million this year. You're no victim.
Not when
you,
really.
And you didn't even play one game last year, and you still got paid.
You played one.
No, you didn't play more than one is what I'm saying.
Ah.
It's absurd. And if I'm a little off, by the way, let me ask you a question. I'll throw this out to the listeners, too. 651-989-9105, 651-989-9105. I threw it up on my Facebook and got some good responses. What's the longest you've ever gone without sleep? And I bet I can top it from this weekend.
I have no idea.
42 hours.
Like, I think I've gone about 36, but...
Well, we got up, you know, I got up at 6 o'clock on Friday, you know, came here, we did the show, and then my family, we do horse shows. So we drove to Cedar Rapids. You know where Cedar Rapids is?
Iowa.
It's the end of the world. We got a, I did not, I should have done this ahead of time, but I did not punch it in until I got in the, you know, in the car, because we took a car and a truck. But anyway, 310 miles. It's a five-hour drive. And I left, I didn't get there till 12:30. Last night, we left early. We wound up not doing some classes because it ran so damn late. We got out of there at 10:30, pulled into the house around 4:30. Because we had to stop a few times with kids. And I did the math on it. It was 40 from Friday at 6. I did not get any sleep until, what would it have been, Sunday morning. 42 hours, midnight or 1 o'clock Sunday morning. And I slept very fitfully for 4 hours. And I didn't even sleep in a, because my whole family was there. I got to start. I'm too cheap to get more than one room. But my two oldest are like in one bed, and they're just, my two sons, they just got the whole thing. And the rest of the family is asleep sideways on the other bed. There was no room. I just went in the car and slept and put the seat back. So that was not a great sleep. But the final number, 68 out of 72 hours, I was awake going until I went to bed this morning around 5.
Perfect. So tell me you might fall asleep on me sometimes
throughout
the show?
No, actually, I think I'm on one of those... I'm on one of those non-sleep deprivation highs. I actually feel pretty good because I did sleep a few hours from like 5 to 8.
So sleep deprivation high. Now you're gonna show up to tomorrow's show and not remember that we did a show today.
Show up to tomorrow. Yeah, I might sleep through. That's I told you that story when I went to the to Sweden. The Vikings played there in 1988. It's also where I met my wife. They flew over, you know, and I was up then, and I stayed up because they said, well, you got to adjust your body. But I stayed up till 4 o'clock in Sweden, and when I got back, the bottom line of it, though, is I guess I got back to the hotel at 4, and I left a wake-up call for like 9. I got up at 5, and I thought, geez, I feel pretty good. Slept an hour. That was great. It was 5 in the afternoon. I slept 13 hours.
Oh, perfect.
I missed practice. And I was complaining to the hotel that they never called me. They said they were, you know, ringing the thing. But there are times when you just crash.
Yeah.
So, but 36 is, that's pretty good, too.
That's not
bad. But you're young. You know, you'll have some of those other ones. I will say one thing about, like, those five-hour energy drinks. I took one of those. Your eyes just pop open. I mean, they do work. We got to get them as a sponsor because they definitely work. So that was that's not too shabby.
The show's only 2 hours long, so we'll have an extra 3 hours to run around crazy.
Exactly, if you do that. Now I want to. We're gonna talk plenty today about your Twins. We're also gonna talk about you got your NHL Stanley Cup final set. There's no question it was gonna be Chicago. They laid it on pretty heavy to Anaheim.
I had a question about it. I mean,
really?
I picked Anaheim. I figured they could get it done at home, get over their playoff hump that they've been going through for several years. But Chicago brought it. Jonathan Toews is amazing.
They're terrific.
That team is just
and
on
Crawford,
fire.
When you take a look back, and this guy struggled in the first round.
Yeah.
He's put it back together.
He's a whole different guy now.
Yeah. And I think Tampa Bay's in trouble.
Compliments of the Minnesota Wild.
They're the ones who got him sharp again.
Yeah, they gave him the confidence to roll right through everything.
So, you know, I wonder, we should talk to some of the Wild people, if the Blackhawks win the Cup, do they feel any better about it? Hey, we lost to the champ.
I think the players would still look at it and say, that should be us.
They better.
As opposed to saying, that was a really good team.
Yeah, but I mean, when they could say it should be us, but what was the series again?
It was like 4-0, I think.
One? Were they short? Wait a minute, did they win one? I don't even remember. The sleep deprivation's kicking in.
They got swept.
Oh, that's horrible. I'm going to remember it like they won one. This way it makes it sound like they were better. You're right, they were. My God, it was horrible. But anyway, there shouldn't have been them because they did not show up.
No, they didn't.
So, but I do think it's going to be Chicago. And actually, our guest coming up, the Chief David Alcaro, who's he's big into the NHL, the NBA, and the Belmont. Now, the Chief, he does a lot of radio with a lot of stations around the world, not around the country. He's got several in Australia. He told me 90% of the talk he does in Australia is NBA. Because they got some NBA. As a matter of fact, there's an Australian on both Golden State and Cleveland.
And he speaks Australian, so nothing bad happens?
Well, I think he throws through shrimp on the Barbie and starts going, mate. They're a big
Perfect.
Mate. Yeah, I'm mate. That's them, right?
Yeah.
Mate.
Yeah.
And actually, later this week, Brad Blanks may be joining us. He's he's been on KQ for a long time, but he's a friend of Chiefs. He's the one that introduced me to him, and both of them were in Vegas last year. Both great couple of guys. But we also today's a Mike Gelfand day. Michael joined us around about 2:55. Tom Schreier is going to stop by a little bit later. We'll talk to the Cackler. Are you able to find the stuff I asked you about?
Yeah, there's some, and I added a couple.
Good. All right, we'll let you listen to that when Tom arrives. Jim Suhan, of course, will join us from the Star Tribune. Saints executive, their vice president, Tom Whaley. Another baseball team that had a nice, they had the nice start, unlike the Twins who had the bad one.
Yeah.
So we'll check in with him, too, because we are sort of the Saints station right over here at 105 The Ticket.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, our signal, we do go pretty far south, by the way. Because when I was driving down, I was listening. You'll get us down near Rochester. That's not bad.
Got range.
We do. Although it was raining the other night, so it wasn't as good as it normally is, but it still was pretty darn good. And by the way, that's 105.1 in the south, 105.3 in the north, but 105.7 right here in the metro. So keep it there at the 105.7 unless you venture outside of that. Let's take a break. Take a break. We'll take a break.
I think we could.
We'll take a break. We'll be right back. We'll be joined by the Chief David Alcaro when we return. That means we are joined by the Chief David Alcaro. You can check him out at thechiefsports.com, and he's presented by Liquid Ice Energy Drink. Now, Chief, when they address you in Australia, do they always call you the Chief? Hey, mate. Hey, Chief, mate. Or how do they address you from in Australia?
Yeah, it's Chief. I actually have a different theme song. I have a Hollywood-based theme song because it all started at the Sundance Film Festival and my involvement in film. But it's the Chief. They actually never really mention my name. And my parents really enjoy that you mention my full name, David Alcaro.
They don't mind. I mean, you don't mind, do you?
Oh, no, I like it. Like I said, my parents really do like it. So you've won points in their book.
Well, I'm guessing Alcaro is Italian, right?
Certainly is.
Well, every Italian parent is proud of their name and heritage.
Oh, of course,
so
yeah.
It goes without saying.
Of course, yeah.
Now, are the Alcaros big Ranger fans?
I am. I certainly am. My folks, not as much. But, we had a heartbreaker in Game 7.
It's history.
Yeah, it really was. You know, we talked about all of the great Rangers record, 7-0 previously in Game 7s at home. That's out the window. They had won 10 straight eliminations at games at home. That's out the window. It was a carbon copy of Game 5, a 2-0 loss Rangers really had no chances. And it, like I said about that game five, it felt like if they had played for 2 days, they weren't going to score.
Well, now who do you like going into the Stanley Cup Finals? Chicago?
You know, it's hard not to like the Chicago Blackhawks. You know, I mentioned just kind of the magic of their star players and how they step up in big games. And you saw it in game seven. It was Jonathan Toews with those two first-period goals. Yep. Really set them up and got them going. And I think Duncan Keith could win the Conn Smythe even if they lose. I think he's had that good a playoff. He's been so good for the Chicago Blackhawks, averaging 31 minutes a game. You know, a lot of that's because of the long overtimes.
Sure.
He's been fantastic. He's got two goals. They're both game winners. He's had 15 assists, leads in plus-minus. He's just been a phenomenal player. So really hard not to go with the Chicago Blackhawks. That all being said, what Tampa Bay has done, you know, they're in the same division with the Boston Bruins and the Toronto Maple Leafs. They don't make the playoffs. Then they beat the Detroit Red Wings, Montreal Canadiens, New York Rangers, and now going to play the Chicago Blackhawks. They have a chance to really beat and eliminate all six of the original NHL six.
That's a great stat.
Yeah, it's something that, you know, it's really impressive what they've done. You know, those games at home are really scary. You have a feeling there's going to be a few games Chicago puts up six or seven. I don't know. I'm going to go with the Blackhawks in probably six games.
How do you think this will play nationally? I mean, there's certainly the more hardcore NHL fans will watch, but the Rangers against Chicago would have done so much more. I'm sure the NHL was hoping for that matchup just from an interest standpoint. But Chicago, I think they could carry quite a bit of interest just by themselves, right?
I think so, and they do have, you know, so many recognizable names and players, and, you know, Patrick Kane, probably the most recognizable American player. And you know what Tampa Bay does, you know, they're very offensive, they're very skilled. Steven Stamkos is a star, but just among hockey fans, he's not going to bring, you know, the real casual sports fan who's a very casual hockey fan. So it's a little tricky. I don't know how. I'm sure the ratings won't be that great, but hopefully they'll do better than expected, because, you know, I love the sport, and
yep.
We'll see what they go, how they go.
And you had mentioned to me also that, you know, in Australia, 90% of the talk is the NBA, and they got two teams with Australians on it, but this is going to be a well-watched series because of LeBron and Curry, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. It was the best-rated game in ESPN over the past 3 years, the Game 5 of Golden State versus Houston, which I didn't think had that much buzz. So I think just people are getting so excited for this matchup. Stephen Curry versus LeBron James. You have obviously the biggest superstar, and then this young budding star, and you have, you know, just two great teams coming together. I think it's going to be a fantastic ratings series for the NBA. I think it's going to be huge.
And what do you see it going, did you say?
Yeah, you know, I like Cleveland, but, you know, it's tough because I feel like a lot of people like Cleveland right now, especially when you're talking about getting 2-1, and that's where they pretty much are, maybe slightly below 2-1, maybe, plus 190, so you risk 100, you get back, 190 profit. So they're significant underdogs, the Cleveland Cavaliers. The teams that have gone 65 wins or better are 13-0 in the finals. There have been 15 teams.
Oh.
Two didn't make the finals, but the other 13 have all won. So that's a big...
And that's why they had 67, right?
Yes. So that's one big thing in Golden State's favor. Also, their home record of, I think it's 45-3. So they have, you know, the four games at home. So that's going to be very, very difficult to overcome. But I still, you know, think that LeBron James, he just seems like he's on a mission to lead this group, and there's no finals experience on the other team, really, and I think that that's a big step up. Going into the NBA Finals is another big step up. Usually teams have to fail. Usually young stars have to fail, and I think that this group, Golden State, I don't know if they're ready to win it all the first time out. Well, I think LeBron can lead his group to a championship.
Well, I am excited to see, because I'm very curious how it plays out. And the Golden State, though, the numbers they put up offensively, and both of them are good defensive teams, too, much better than you would think.
Yeah, they really are. You know, rebounding is going to be key. The Cleveland Cavaliers did an excellent job rebounding, even after the Kevin Love injury. The long rest, I think, will help. It helps both teams because Klay Thompson's concussion.
Yep.
Yeah, now he should be fine. He's probable to play game one. The Golden State Warriors are 6-point favorites in that game one. I don't know if I'd tip that one way or the other. I just like Cleveland in the series. And then the rest is really good for Kyrie Irving, who should be close to 100%. He played very well in that closeout game early. They saw they had it won. They rested him some more. So I think Kyrie Irving's ready to have a big series.
Now, Chief, when you talk to the people at the stations in Australia that you work with, do they want to talk about LeBron and Steph Curry? Do they want to talk mostly about the Australian players involved?
Oh, no, they certainly want to talk about LeBron and Steph Curry because they know that's really where the series is going to be decided. As good as Matthew Dellavedova has been and how much of a instigator he's been, he's got two ejections under his belt. He caused Taj Gibson to get suspended by closing his legs on Taj Gibson's leg. And then he also got Al Horford suspended in the Atlanta series. He's done a great job getting under the opponent team's skin and shooting the ball. So Matthew Dellavedova has been very important, but they know how important LeBron James is. And on the other side, Andrew Bogut, he's been fantastic. At points, helping offensively, finishing, but some big rebounding games. There's games, though, they don't use him. Steve Kerr does go small, depending on the night. He has sat out in second halves, but he's also produced very, very well in some limited minutes, huge rebound and block shot numbers.
Now, our mutual friend, Brad Blanks, he has flown out to Minnesota because he's does radio with KQ. He's been to Vegas. Have you been flown out to Australia for anything yet by one of the stations?
No, but I've been out there and I got to experience, a whole evening, a whole overnight, actually, over there in the studio. So I've spent some time there, but no, they haven't flown me out, but they're happy to talk to me over the phone. It's quite amazing how we're halfway, completely around the other side of the world, and we're able to communicate about these sports. They know just about as much as I do.
Well, Chief, you're in New York. What time is it when you talk to them?
See, I'm actually on the overnight show, so it's not like I'm, I get as many listeners as I am when I'm talking to you at a nice prime afternoon hour. So it's an overnight show, but it's a very informative overnight show, and they're a very loyal group of listeners, and it's, Melbourne's a huge sports city. They're probably one of the biggest sports cities in the world, and that's the main show. And I've been on other shows throughout Australia and New Zealand, and, a lot of things go. They do a very good job streaming things around the country. So, but they love American sports. They really do. The NFL, certainly the NBA, with the players that are certainly coming. Next year's number one overall pick is expected to be Ben Simmons, who is Australian. So very interesting that the NBA we can have another big Australian player in the league.
Well, it's overnight for them, but what time is that for you when you're calling them?
Oh, it's midday. It's midday for me here.
Oh, okay.
It makes it very easy for me. That's why it works out so well.
And I'm sure you'll be giving them Belmont. They're into the Triple Crown possibilities?
Oh, yeah. Well, horse racing is a massive sport for them. Their biggest sporting event on their calendar is the Melbourne Cup. It's a race that stops the nation. It's the first Tuesday of November there, and it is it's a massive event. It's a state holiday in the state of Victoria. So horse racing is that big a sport to them.
And Well, we know that what's going to happen. American Pharoah is going to try to get the first Triple Crown since the 70s. Anything happening there? Any good scandals coming out of it yet?
No. I guess I think that's a good thing. Hopefully it'll be a very clean situation, even though there's been a little bit about the ownership group. And I think I mentioned once before that they had gone through a bankruptcy. The owner has gotten some issues with some possible gambling debts that he's gotten in some dispute with. So the owners aren't the most upstanding and maybe likable of a group. I don't think anyone will cry over the ownership group if they lose.
No.
So that would be the only thing. But hopefully it'll be a very clean race, and be the best horse wins. I think weather is starting to look pretty good, so shouldn't be a factor in weather. Right now, the real odds of American Pharoah winning are pretty much even money. The odds for the bets will probably be like 3 to 5, so I would never suggest putting a win wager on American Pharoah. I think there's much better value on one of the other horses. Probably Frosted will be the second choice, though I like Keen Ice as an outsider. Could be as much as 25 to 1. That's where I would go with my bets, but and obviously my heart is hoping for that Triple Crown in American Pharoah.
That would be neat, because it's obviously been a little long. Well, Chief, always great talking to you. The Chief, David Alcaro. Hello, Mr. and Mrs. Alcaro.
Thanks, Bob.
You can catch it at thechiefsports.com, and he's presented by Liquid Ice Energy Drink. Thanks again. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Take care. Come right back. We got a little threesome. Three questions, three answers. That's what we're looking for. We'll be right back.
Magic number. Yeah,
it's a bad thing to play because it sounds like a lullaby.
Magic number.
Almost made it.
Somewhere in that ancient.
We're good. We're good to go.
You'll get three.
You know, I'll have to. Mike Gelfand's going to join us. Going to talk about him, because that poor guy, he's had some real sleep issues. So he knows about putting, you know, putting in long hours without sleep.
Yeah.
So we have that in common. I'll talk to him also about, I mentioned to you off the air, some of my secrets of staying awake on long overnight drives.
Yeah.
One of them, this is a couple of years ago, we left this show at like midnight, and it had a four-hour drive. My wife dozed off right away, and I asked her, please stay awake. I nudged her and started a fight. Kept me up the whole way. Last night, I took a different route. Beyond like a five-hour energy drink, the other thing that will keep you awake is to gorge yourself with sugar and things that will give you a really bad stomach ache. So I had caramel gelato. I had caramel popcorn or kettle corn. I also had something I detest normally. My kids like it, though. You ever those potato chips that are like sea vinegar and salt and vinegar? Sea vinegar?
Sea salt and vinegar.
Sea salt and vinegar. Yeah, I have the C's wrong. Sea salt and vinegar.
Yeah, I don't really eat those.
Well, I had them by the fistful, and it gave me an achy gut. And when I got home, I had to squeeze the cheeks and do the waddle into the house because everything hit at once. It was good timing, though. Anyway, you've got three questions. I bet none of them are about my sleeping issues.
No, the third one actually is.
Really?
No.
Oh. Huh?
Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
It's Mr. X.
Actually,
I have three questions for you.
Yeah.
Number one, the Stanley Cup Finals and the NBA Finals are set. Which one has the potential to be the better series?
You know, I think that the NBA Finals could go 7. I don't think the Stanley Cup Finals is going 7.
Yeah, that's pretty much the answer I would expect. The NBA Finals does seem like it's got two teams going head-to-head that can really drag out this series.
I think I think the Stanley Cup could go 5 or maybe 6. I just don't see it going the distance.
But Tampa has impressive.
They have been. But Chicago, it just seems like they've hit their stride.
Yeah, at the right time.
And I think they want to be a part of history, too. You know, it'd be looked at some sort of a dynasty.
Well, 3 Stanley Cups in the last 5 years.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean.
That'll do it.
I mean, they got interrupted by the Kings, right?
Yeah.
But this is a team with, well, we've talked about the players on the team. It's a great team. And I just think that I don't know. You're right. Tampa Bay is very good. They've beaten good teams. The stat that the Chief gave us that, you know, having basically beaten the original 6.
Yeah.
That's not too bad.
That's pretty cool.
That is a very cool thing.
So they have that opportunity. Then they do have, like, Brendan Morrow, who's been in the league several years. Valtteri Filppula got a lot of playoff experience when he was with Detroit. So they do have some seasoned veterans along with the young guys really
producing.
No,
it's a great team, but it's just there's something about that Chicago team. And I do. What do you think? You think it's going to be well-watched? I don't think it will be. If Chicago fans... And people who are interested there, I mean, if you're a Wild fan, unless you're, I'm not going to watch that because they beat our team.
Yeah.
I would think they'd be interested. I know it'll be hopping at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. That'll be tuned in there.
I don't know if too many people are really excited about this Stanley Cup Finals.
Yeah, that's what
I'm interested, but that's because I love hockey enough to the point where I'm going to watch it no matter what. It's just like the Super Bowl. The Vikings aren't in it. I'm still going to watch it.
Well, I think the NBA Finals is going to be a high level of interest.
Yeah, a lot of people love that. Stephen Curry, and a lot of people either love or they love to hate LeBron James.
So that's going to draw. It will draw people in, and it is. It has the makings of a great, a great Finals. I just think it's gonna go. So we'll see. All right, what else you got there, XE?
Number two, the Panthers and Cam Newton are reportedly close to a long-term deal that would pay him more than $20 million a year. Is Newton worth that much money, and where would you rank him among starting quarterbacks in the league today?
Well, as we've learned from AP, the key question there is it guaranteed? How much is guaranteed money? That's what we need to find out.
Probably like 50.
Oh, he's going to get good guaranteed money.
Yeah.
I don't, ranking him, top 10. I wouldn't put him in the top five.
No, he's definitely not top five. I would actually, I don't know if he'd crack my top 10 if I was actually to sit down and run through each quarterback. Top 15, well, I could probably give him that guaranteed. But
all right, okay. Now, let's.
He doesn't really wow me.
Well, he doesn't wow. He hasn't been he's had some years where you think, wow, you actually say, wow, he is going to be the guy.
Yeah, his rookie year, I did not see that coming. Came out slinging, threw over 4,000 yards, had a decent number of touchdowns, and also he's a good runner. We already knew that.
Yeah.
But he's put together a solid career. I mean, his numbers kind of fluctuate a little bit. Last year he was actually pretty good with two decent targets.
Keep track of, and some of these things are subject to change, but Carson Palmer, better or not?
Well, I would have to go with Cam Newton because Carson Palmer has injury issues.
Matt Ryan with Atlanta.
I'm taking Matt Ryan.
I would too. Right, so that's one for one. Joe Flacco, take Flacco.
Yeah, Super Bowl winning quarterback.
Kyle Orton, take Cam.
Well, Kyle Orton retired.
I'm sorry. Who's with
Matt Castle?
Matt Castle.
I'll take Cam Newton.
All right. Cutler, Cam.
I'll take Cam too.
Andy Dalton, Cam.
That's kind of a tough one, but I do really like Andy Dalton. He gets the job done in the regular season. He's just having problems getting over the playoff hump.
I'm taking Cam. Now, Cleveland will throw out Manziel, but so Cam again.
Yeah, we'll literally throw him out.
Tony Romo. Romo.
Taking Romo.
Well, okay, Peyton Manning with Denver, because I'm going alphabetically here, no question.
Even a 48-year-old Peyton Manning, I might take him.
What's he going to be, 30? Is he 39? I think that's what he is.
Something like that.
I'd go Matthew Stafford from Detroit.
I'll take Stafford easily.
Well, let's see. Okay, this is a tough one. Aaron Rodgers, Cam Newton. Cam Newton, Aaron Rodgers. I think I'll give the slight edge to Rodgers. Who is Houston's? Is it Case Keenum? Who is the guy?
I forgot who they signed. Because they brought in somebody, didn't they?
All right, well, you know what? We're going to give the edge. We'll give the edge to Cam on Houston.
Might as well.
Andrew Luck from Indianapolis. That's not a non-issue. Blake Bortles, Cam. I'm going Cam.
I would actually take Bortles. He reminds me a lot of Matt Ryan, and I think he's going to be pretty much in that same mold as Matt Ryan.
Kansas City. Chase Daniel?
It's Alex Smith.
What's Chase? Okay, because the list I'm looking at is I don't know why they would have Daniel down there. Because he probably finished the year. That's probably what it was. The list I have must be the guys who finished. All right.
Yeah.
Ryan, okay, so obviously I'll go Alex Smith on that. Ryan Tannehill. I think I'd go Tannehill.
He's
pretty good.
He's gotten better and better. His numbers, his touchdown numbers have gone up. His picks have gone down almost every single year he's been in the league.
I'm going Teddy for the Vikings. Brady, obviously. Drew Brees, that's a no-brainer. Eli Manning, I'm taking Eli. Geno Smith.
So he's fallen out of the top 10 here.
Well, yeah, we just went 14 guys. That's we'll see. Maybe he's not going to make the 15. Derek Carr. I'll give Cam a
tip of
the cap.
That's another tough one.
But I'm giving Cam
a tip. I'd go with Cam just because Derek Carr's he could be screwed in Oakland.
Now, this one's a weird. Sam Bradford. The guy's always hurt.
Yeah, I'd go Cam with that one,
Cam.
Too.
All right, so we only got a few left.
Brian Hoyer and Ryan Mallett are the Houston guys. Houston quarterbacks.
Cam's getting the nod on. Got the nod on that one.
Go Newton.
Ben Roethlisberger.
I'm taking Roethlisberger.
Yeah, that goes without saying. All right, so then Philip Rip going Rivers.
Yep.
I'll go Colin Kaepernick, too, because I still think he's got something there.
I'll take Cam over Colin Kaepernick.
All right, well, I think we've disagreed on three of them. Well, Russell Wilson, no-brainer. Nick Foles in St. Louis. I'm going Cam.
I'll take Cam over Nick Foles as well.
All right. Josh McCown in Tampa Bay. Who's the other one in Tampa Bay? They got the kid. The superstar.
Jameis Winston.
Well, of course, Cam, because you wouldn't know what's going to happen there.
Yeah.
Tennessee. What they?
They got Mariota and Mattenberger.
Yeah. So we got to go, again, same thing.
Yeah.
And then we'll go Cam there. And then Robert Griffin III, I'm going Cam. So... Actually, he barely cracks the top 20.
All right.
In your list, he doesn't. On mine, he does.
Well, I guess I think really highly of him, and I'm really good at numbers when I told him I would guarantee him top 15, and I lied.
Well, you know what? He is getting a hell of a contract when you look at it that way. Now, let's get that last threesome in.
And finally, with just 2 months done in the season, the Twins are almost halfway to their win total of last season. How many wins would you project them at now?
How many wins would I project them at now? Well, right now, I mean, you'd say 500 is an absolute lock. You know, for them to do. Well, you would think, but you know what? I'm gonna put them 89, which is still a hell of a go.
Yeah, I mean, originally, just going into this year, I projected them in between 75, 77, somewhere in there.
Yeah,
and they're going to surpass that the way
they
look.
I don't think they get out of the 80s because there's going to be some rough stuff there. But Irvin Santana coming back will help them.
I would put it around 89. I'll go 87.
Yeah. We're in that ring. We're in that ballpark.
Yeah.
All right, take a quick break. Come back with Tom Schreier. He's a 105 The Ticket guy. One of our guys, the Cackler. You got a special little thing for him when he comes. Better have his ass here by now, by the way. We looked earlier. He wasn't out there. But no, we'll be joined by Tom Schreier. We also have Mike Gelfand joining us, Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune, and St. Paul Saints Executive VP Tom Whaley will join us. We'll be right back.